Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for quarter number two and quarter number three. But first, quarter number one, Andy, let's do a review of the news, the big news of the week. We were talking the other day, you and I, about the transfer portal being a little bit quiet. Well, it just got a little bit louder this week. Noah Kane, running back, has decided to enter the portal. I'm not sure any of us are surprised about a running back entering the portal, but were you surprised it was Noah Kane?
Was I surprised? A little bit. I was surprised a little bit that it was. I'm like you, I'm not surprised it was a running back. I'm sure Penn State fans aren't surprised with all the running backs and what they have coming in, that it's a pretty crowded room. So, but the fact it was Noah Kane, maybe yes, because I still think, I mean, he entered 2021 season as sort of the, you know, number one running back, right? And is he, they struggled in the running game overall, no matter kind of who the running back is. It never, although on the field, I thought Kevon Lee was the more productive back and should have been getting more snaps and more carries and more, you know, ability to sort of stretch himself and test the waters a little more, but it never happened. So my thought is there a better position? Can Noah Kane position himself better in another school when I saw he went into the portal? And that's a tough question to answer because I still think he was in a good spot at Penn State. So it's a tricky one. It just kind of means he just doesn't think that's the place for him, I guess. And it kind of makes sense to me on some levels. I mean, you think back when he was a freshman in 19, that stretch he had where he scored all those touchdowns and was a four-minute guy and he had like nearly 500 yards. But then he became injured, right? He got hurt. And then he got hurt in the very first game on the very first offensive series and missed the rest of the entire 2020 season. And he just didn't look like the same back this year in any way, shape, or form. And that's not an indictment on him. That's an indictment on what injuries can do to running backs, right? They've clearly taken a toll on him. So, I mean, he looked lethargic, and he's what I classify as he looked lethargic and light in terms of what you saw and expected from him is what played out in 2021. And by lethargic, he didn't look as decisive. He didn't look as quick to the hole. And the thing about Noah Kane that I'm not saying anything Penn State fans don't know is that lean, that push, that hit, you know, that going forward, that wasn't very prevalent in 2021 at all. It was all noticeable to the fact that, like, man, this guy's a little bit of a shell of the running back that you knew at his best in 19. And after a year and a half and the injuries, they take their toll on you. And it took a toll on that guy.
I don't think I anticipated Noah Kane leaving, but any running back who went through this past season at Penn State, you didn't get a lot of carries because of the running back by committee. You didn't get much help from your offensive line. It was just not a good scenario overall. And you can't be sure that it'll be any different next season. So for any one of these guys to say, you know what, I might be better off somewhere else, should not come as a surprise to anybody. And as a Penn State fan, I think you saw a little bit more burst from him, perhaps in a very small sample size in the bowl game. Hoped that was promised for next season. But I don't think anybody is upset that Noah Kane has left. I don't think anyone's saying, oh no, what are we going to do now
right. Without
Noah Kane because of there are several guys still left over, plus two very good backs, and perhaps a really special back coming into the fold. this coming season. So I think the end result is best of luck to Noah Kane. I really hope he lands on his feet somewhere and is healthy, and we'll see that Noah Kane that we saw a glimpse of in 2019.
No matter how, and you're right, there is potential for a special back. There are two really good backs coming to Penn State, but I don't care who they are or how much talent they have or how much possibility they have of being special. If the offensive line play looks anything similar to what it did in 2021, that's never going to be able to be realized. That backs are talented. Backs can do a lot on their own, but they also need a little bit of help from time to time. And you nailed it when you said they didn't get much help. I'd be like, did they get any help? Kind of, I wonder. But it's a twofold situation there. I mean, not to have a 100-yard back all season in any game, that's not an indictment on the running backs. I'm sorry. That is not an indictment on the running back. So that's my last word on it. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, let's move on. Some other news of the week is that the Big Ten announced that they have changed the schedule. Penn State and other schools. The end result for Penn State is this. I would think this has to be a help overall. Northwestern replaces Illinois. Yep. And one of the crossover games. We had seen in the original schedule, Ohio State and Michigan were back-to-back fairly early in the season. I think they were going to be games 5 and 6.
Correct.
And that would have meant, you know, really front-loading the schedule. Those two games have now been split up, where you have Ohio State, you have Minnesota in between before they play Michigan. And then instead of finishing their season with Rutgers, they are going to finish the season with Michigan State. Your overall reaction to the schedule changes?
So if you're a Penn State fan, you go, whoo, thank you. I mean, just that is my initial reaction. Just because if you looked at it, the totality of it, where they are now and what it looked like ahead of them, they were playing Purdue, Auburn, Michigan and Ohio State all in the first 6 weeks. For a team that's, you know, kind of drifted into middle of the packish type program in the last 2 years, that's a daunting schedule right out of the gate. Michigan has elevated its game. Ohio State's where it's at. Purdue is, they were a giant killer in 2021, right? Like if you were good, you were scared to death to play them. And because they were a giant killer, and they are a tough out. They're a tough program to play right. It's a good football game. It's a 55-45 game as you look at it. And you go through and say, these are our first six games. There was opportunities for it to go sideways on a lot of levels early in terms of how the opportunity that Penn State would have to spin out of this. But this helps. It's a breather because – you and I had talked about it last week a little bit, and then we were talking about it a little bit more off the air, and I was like, man, that is brutal for them. That is just brutal. And you got to play what's in front of you, but that's a little bit on the brutal side. This is a breather for them. I'm very, very happy for Penn State and its program that the Big Ten has changed the schedule and did not make them run the gauntlet like that.
It's true. They don't have that back-to-back, but do you still look at it like, you know, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio State? I get it, Minnesota's at home, but having that as that tweener game, you know, post-Michigan, pre-Ohio State, and let's not forget Minnesota, I believe they finished 9-4 this season.
Correct.
So they're not going to be an easy out. I believe their quarterback is returning for his super senior year.
Yeah, he's a seventh year, 12th year player. He's 25 years old. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. But yeah, no, he is coming back. Yeah, no, I think it's still a tough game, but it's not to college football what will be viewed going into 2022 as Ohio State and Michigan are viewed as college football playoff candidates, right? You have to play them, not only do you have to play them back-to-back, you have to play them at the back end of a tough 6-week gauntlet. That's a heavy lift. It's still a bit of a lift for this team, but to not have to play them back to back. I'm not saying you got a cruise control game in between, but you don't have to go 8 consecutive quarters against potential college football playoff teams. That's a break. You don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to play 8 consecutive quarters against back-to-back college football playoff caliber teams.
You're right. That is relief there. The other note, and this is something that was the case on the old schedule and the new schedule, is starting the Big Ten season with your first game as opposed to having the 3 out-of-conference games. And starting it on the road, it seems like every year Penn State's first Big Ten game is on the road. So I don't think the Big Ten schedule makers did them any favors starting on the road with Purdue, which I'll classify, you know, like I would Minnesota. No, they're not the elite playoff caliber type team.
Correct.
But they're not a pushover either.
100% so right, Jimmy.
To do game one on the road with Purdue, just like last year, that game one on the road at Wisconsin. Again, the schedule makers aren't doing them any favors. There was another player entering the portal, didn't get as much play, of course, as Noah Cain, but Joseph Darkwa entered the portal. He's a defensive lineman. He was from those couple recruiting classes where we said, boy, there's a lot of upside here. Not necessarily sure things. These are guys, we're not going to see them in that first year or two, but wait to that third year or so. Well, you know, here's that third year or so, and we aren't going to see anything from Joseph Darkwa.
Yeah, he was a project from Germany, and it didn't work. He didn't develop to the level they need, and he sees the handwriting on the wall. That's going to happen. Every 3 years, you're going to find, a couple, 2-3 players in the transfer portal that qualify on that status from a lot of schools, and Joseph fits that one at Penn State to a T.
Candidly, I'm surprised we haven't seen more names in the portal comparable from those recruiting classes, guys who haven't yet seen the field, and now we're looking at the prospect of younger players arriving with much more fanfare and probably ready to bypass them.
I think on Penn State's roster, as I look at it and evaluate it heading into 2022, I'm not surprised to see more guys in the portal because I think there's more opportunity on the depth chart. And I don't mean as starters, I mean 1-2 where you're playing. And I think there's a lot of opportunities at a lot of levels on both sides of the ball. So that is the reason I don't think you're seeing quite as many Penn State players in the transfer portal.
Well, perhaps it might happen in the spring when they find out what their status is.
There you go.
And if they're not part of that too deep, maybe they'll make that decision then. Okay, Andy, that's it for quarter number one in the news. Everyone stick around. We've got Ross Tucker coming in for quarter number two. Stick around for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.